Turn with me to the second book of Kings, chapter 2. The second book of Kings, reading chapter 2. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Well, ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were at a view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, Behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up, and cast him upon some mountain, or into some valley. And he said, Ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, Send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, Did I not say unto you, Go not? And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back, and looked on them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth 2 she-bears out of the wood, and tare 40 and 2 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and help us now as we seeking the Lord's help, turn with me to the chapter we read, the second book of Kings, chapter 2, and we will read by way of text verse 2. The second book of Kings, chapter 2, and verse 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. It has been my usual practice on Remembrance Sunday to be led to speak a little about the Lord's great mercies to us in those two great wars. But this word has remained on my spirit for several days now, and I felt that perhaps there was nothing that I could bring out of the text regarding these two great wars. And I did feel a little disappointed, particularly as today is exactly 100 years ago since the hostilities of that first great war ceased. But you know, as I thought on the way up here of this text, the text which the Lord had laid upon my heart, and Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee. But Elisha, his response was, I will not leave thee. And I thought of that young soldier that is buried just a few feet away from the first soldier that fell in that great war. How remarkable it is that the first soldier that died is there buried, and the last one to die, just, I believe, about an hour and a half before hostilities ceased, he's buried there just a few feet away. And that young lad was just 17 years old. And apparently he lied about his age. He was just 15 when he went to war. But we have no criticism of him, do we? What we see in him was his willingness to serve his country. And it was, no, I'm not going to stay. I'm going to go to war, even if I am too young. Well, now, dear friends, the hymn writer, he puts it, doesn't he, in regard to predestination, the time of love will come when we shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. And there is that appointed time. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace, to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. Now, we know nothing of the spiritual condition of that young soldier. But, oh, dear friends, may that time come with each of us. We have a good selection of ages here. We have the children, We have the young people, those that are older, and some that have now reached the 70 years, and perhaps beyond. But dear friends, as we seek to bring out a little of this word today, may it be our blessed lot to be amongst those whom the Lord will call. Just before we come to the word, as we think of those great wars, several of you will no doubt be familiar with the little booklet that was produced by Christian Values in Education, Christians and the First World War. But it will do us all good just to reflect a moment on how privileged, how favoured we have been to have enjoyed now almost 70 years of peace. Well, perhaps it's more than 70 years now, isn't it? But there is that case of that of those parents that they had news of four of their sons over a period of 3 months, one after the other, that they had news that their sons had been killed in the First World War, the Moon Brothers. And as is recorded here, they have truly contributed their share in this great war, having now lost four sons in less than 3 months. Gunner Harry Moon was killed on June the 2nd, and Sergeant Walter Moon in July. And then a few weeks later, Corporal C. Moon died of wounds received in action. And I believe it was just about a fortnight or so later that they then received another letter. "I am awfully sorry to have to write and tell you that your son John was killed during bombardment this afternoon." Dear friends, what mercies we have received of the Lord, that for these many, many years that we have known peace in this our land. Last Lord's Day, I was preaching at the little chapel in Braeburn, and as I walked down the pathway to the chapel, there was a grave with a wreath of poppies, and I read it, and it was a Private Brooks that he had been killed in action less than 3 weeks before hostilities finished in October 1918. And I asked the friends the circumstances. Oh, they said, "You preached here before George Brooks was taken, didn't you?" "Oh, yes." "Well," they said, "that was his father. George was just a tiny lad, and between the time that his father was killed and they heard between the time that his father was killed and the time that they heard of his death, which was about 2 or 3 weeks, another baby had been born. And so the youngest never knew their father. And dear George, he was a tall man, he was a pillar, a generous man. He left a very, very generous amounts to the cause of the Lord, various causes of the Lord. And friends, and he knew what it was from a very young age to be a father to his two siblings. Well, our text. What has this got to do with our text? You know, dear friends, if you and I are amongst the Lord's people, we shall know what it is to be called. We shall know what it is to have to go perhaps into those pathways which we'd otherwise not. But in the day of his power, he makes us willing. Oh, the world, and particularly, and I say it reverently, but you know, particularly the religious world, they think it strange. They cannot understand it. But it's the path of blessing. It's the path of blessing. And the word of the Lord is tried. Are you tried this morning? Is that which the Lord has called you to walk seem to make absolutely no sense at all? The devil, perhaps, and perhaps he's using some to say to you, look, why? Why? There's an easier way. You don't have to go with those people that are all in, as it were, in straitjackets. You're free. You're free. The gospel brings liberty. The gospel does bring liberty, doesn't it? Oh, as the gospel brings liberty, and we know something of the cost of our liberty. Oh, as today that our country rightly celebrates 100 years of deliverance and what that has brought. Much more, dear friends, that dear man on whom yours and my hopes of heaven depend, he who laid his life down for the sheep, greater love hath no man than that a man should lay down his life for his sheep. But how do you begin to understand? How do you begin to understand that there's a trial of faith? Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. But friends, it's tried. The word of the Lord is tried. And dear Elijah, he knows that he's about to be taken. But Elisha, his successor, and he knows it will be Elisha, he must be prepared. He must be tried. He must know what it is to be in the crucible. Do you know what it is, friends, to be in the crucible? Do you know what it is to be in that fiery furnace? Oh, bless God, literally, we're not called, are we, to be where Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were called? Oh, to be in that furnace, the king demanding that it be heated 7 times hotter than it was wont to be heated. But you know, dear friends, we do prove the heat of the furnace, don't we? And we shrink from it. But oh, to be brought to where Elisha was brought. As Elijah said to him, tarry here, the man of God, surely he means me to tarry. Oh, I can take my ease. Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me, not you, Elisha. He sent me. Tarry here. The Lord hath sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. and friends, and as you and I are made willing in the day of his power, so he'll be with us. He'll be with you. Oh, as the hymn writer puts it, I am with you, Israel, passing through the fire. Friends, we're brought, aren't we? Oh, if we're favoured to be brought into the way of the Lord, to be brought out of nature's darkness into his most marvellous light, there's a pathway, there's the wilderness way for us to journey. But friends, in seeking to be made willing to obey his commands, to do whatsoever the Lord shall bid us, so, dear friends, we shall prove him going before us, the Good Shepherd. But you know, we're not always conscious, are we? Not always conscious. We meet with many a foe. But friends, he's there. His way is in the deep. His way is there in the depths of the sea. Oh, he's there, though we can't see his feet. We can't see them. And yet in the depths, in the deepest pathway, he's there. He's there leading us on. And yes, and so that those great water floods we're favoured to see and feel and experience by faith, that all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yes, this is a precious Jesus. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yes, poor child of God, you feel that you sink under the load. But no, he, a precious Jesus, he's borne it all. And as it was with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, what was it when the king came and he saw not just three men, he saw four, and the fourth, who was the fourth? Precious Jesus, blessed Jesus. Oh, it was him. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points, not just a few of them, all points, everything that you and I are called to walk in, what you and I may be going through today, he knows all about it. And he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows it all. He knows it all. Well, Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. Oh, have you known what it is for the Lord to speak to you? Have you known what it is as you come up to the house of God for the servant of the Lord to be led into your pathway? And it seems to be so strange. And perhaps you try to shrug it off. Or perhaps you just say, oh no, this is what he meant. As Elisha, that he could well have said, yes, I'll take my ease. Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. But have you known what it is, dear friends? Have you known what it is to seek, to have that understanding that the Lord would lead you to understand what the dear preacher of the gospel has been saying? That it is the word of the Lord. That if it's for me, that the Lord will make it plain. Oh, we come, don't we? We trust that we've come up to the house of God this morning praying that the Lord would bless his own word. But what about after the service? What about after the service? Do we know what it is to beat to beat that out which we have gleaned. Oh, that there might be something. Yes, there might be something that remains. Sometimes it is, isn't it? You know what? How it is sometimes that we come away from the house of God and we actually don't feel there's been anything particularly relevant to us. But as the Lord leads us, as the Lord leads us to the throne of grace, he brings something out, doesn't he? Something perhaps which really went over our heads. But there's something, isn't there? There's something that he brings to our remembrance. And he reveals that to us. What a privilege. Do you love the throne of grace? Do you love the privilege of prayer? We sang that hymn, didn't we, to begin with? And oh, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed. Are you sometimes tempted that you actually haven't prayed? Oh, the enemy, he's a subtle foe, isn't he? You know what it is, don't you? You can be driving the car, you can be doing your duties around the house, at work, whatever it might be. But we're not far from the throne of grace, are we? And he sees, doesn't he? Oh, he sees those tears. They're all in his bottle. He hears those sighs. He knows our frame. He remembers we are but dust. And friends, and he owns and blesses. But he'll prepare. He prepares each one of his people. Can you look back today and trace out a little of how the Lord has worked in your life? Or perhaps there are those of you here this morning who are saying, "Oh, that I knew these things." Well, that's a good desire. You keep on. You keep on. Oh, and perhaps you'll come to him and say, "I don't understand it all. In fact, I don't really understand anything, but to be brought to this, but thou knowest that I love thee. I love thee. Oh, for grace to love thee more." And dear Elisha, he loved the Lord. He loved his master. Oh, he saw in Elijah the man of God. And I do believe it had been revealed to Elisha, as it had been revealed to others, that he was about to be taken to heaven. Yes, body and soul, as a whirlwind to take him to heaven. In a completely different way to the only other human, Enoch, that has been translated, taken to heaven, two completely different ways, both pointing to a precious Jesus. But dear friends, the word of the Lord is tried, isn't it? The hymn writer, he puts it, "We meet with many a foe, from sinner and from saint." And in our verse 3 of our chapter, we read, "And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" Now, friends, that's very possible. That was said in love. Clearly, it had been revealed to them, hadn't it, what the Lord was going to do. But you know, sometimes the weight, the burden that is laid upon a poor sinner, a child of God, is so heavy that even words of kindness, they can irritate. You know, we read, don't we, James, he says that Elijah was a man of like passions, just as we are. He was a sinner, wasn't he? Elisha, he was a sinner. And you know, as I meditated upon this word, I felt so encouraged. I felt so encouraged. I've never seen it before. But what was his response? His response to the sons of the prophets, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" His response was, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And you know, I felt it was like this. The poor man, he was irritated. He was irritated. "Oh, don't you know the burden that's coming upon me? This mantle that this dear man of God has been favoured with, that's to fall to me? Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." Where is it that you and I are favoured with peace? It's peace at the cross, isn't it? Peace by his cross has Jesus made. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Well, friends, the thing is repeated, isn't it? The thing is repeated. They go to Bethel. And now we have this. In the fourth verse, Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. You know, leading on, isn't it? Step by step, trial of faith comes across the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho. "Knowest thou not? Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" Oh, he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." Hold ye your peace. Dear friends, as you and I, that we are brought into these places, do we not experience a little as like Naomi did? Perhaps there's something that you're in today. There's something that you're in today, and if not today, perhaps tomorrow, perhaps at some time in the future, where you're being drawn one way, pulled perhaps in one direction, and yet you know that you've got to go in the opposite. Oh, Naomi, she says to her daughter-in-laws in that eighth verse of the first chapter of Ruth, "Go, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me, the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them. What love! What love! And often things are said to us in love, aren't they? Elijah, he spoke to Elisha in love. But it was the Lord, it was a trial of faith. He was testing. And friends, and Elisha, in his determination. Oh, there's a vast difference, isn't there, between a desire and determination. Now, I would be sensitive to those of you that may be saying, well, I haven't the strength now for that which I would determine to be, but I trust I have a desire. Well, the Lord knows your heart, dear friends, doesn't he? But all those of us, that are favoured, are still with health and strength. Oh, to be favoured as we're exercised, to be determined. Oh, as dear Paul, didn't he, that he said, I determined to know nothing. I determined to know nothing but a bleeding Jesus. In the first epistle to the Corinthians, and chapter 2 and verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And for yours and my encouragement, he says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He knoweth your frame. He knoweth my frame. He remembers that we are but dust. But all this determination, where do we find dear Ruth? Oh, she says, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Oh, she has that blessed hope, doesn't she? She's beyond the grave. Beyond the grave. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When mother-in-law, when Naomi, she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Now, dear friends, our time is rapidly going, but if we to try and bring these things together, there's a vast difference, isn't there? There's a vast difference in just being headstrong, just in our determination, and just a grasp. A grasp at straws and go our own way. There's such a thing, isn't there? Such a solemn thing, really, and perhaps we're all guilty of it, that the Lord, he brings us into something, we seek to make a way of escape, or there's something that we desire, and we set our heart and mind towards it, and it's then that we seek his blessing. It's then that we seek his blessing, and really, regardless of whether we believe he gives it or not, we still go and we have this false security that the Lord has gone before us. But friends, he'll try it, won't he? what was it with dear Barak, wasn't it? Dear Barak in Jeremiah, that very short chapter in Jeremiah, chapter 45. And we read there in the last verse, "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Seek them not." Now, friends, Barak, he was an understudy to Jeremiah. Your pastor, he is supported in the work here by you, dear loving friends. Only the Lord knows how much behind the scenes you support him in the closet, in prayer, the practical things that you might do, the things that nobody else might see. But he knows, the Lord knows, and that's so, you know, with every servant of God, that as the Lord favours them, as the Lord favours them with praying souls, so the work flourishes. Now, it would appear that Barak, that he was one of these, he was such a support to Jeremiah. Barak's brother, it appears that he was in the king's, he was working for the king. Had a good position in life. And it would appear that Barak, he could also have had a good position in life. And you know, and in this little chapter, the 45th chapter of Jeremiah, we read this. "Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest." That's a real hard pathway, isn't it? That the enemy tempts us, doesn't he? And those around, he doesn't mind who he uses, doesn't he? And we're tempted, aren't we? Oh, to use a common expression, the grass is greener the other side of the fence. And it brings us low. Brings us into the depths. Woe is me. What did the Lord say? What did the Lord say? "Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land." And then he asked the question, "And seekest thou great things for thyself?" And then the exhortation, the command, "Seek them not. Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord." The Lord knew that Judah was to be destroyed. The Lord knew that the people were to be going into Babylon. Barak, had you had your desire and gone with your brother to the king's household, you too would be destroyed. "I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord." There's this precious but. Hold on to this, dear friend. Hold on to those precious buts in the Word of God. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. Elisha said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Well, I had expected to get through this this morning, but the Lord helping me, perhaps we'll seek by his help to gather up the threads this evening. The Lord bless his own word. Amen.